This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 4341790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Things are technical in the hands of Graham Vaughan, who handles the role of producer and production assistant, and a technical operator all wrapped into one. And I'm Dennis Johnson. I'll be your host until 1 this afternoon. It is the first Monday in July, so of course the messages come flying in about the changes in gasoline. I think that's the one that is going to be most on people's minds. One of the challenges we face going forward with changes to the price of anything in Barbados is how it is communicated, if we are aware of what the price structure is, and if we get our terminology correct, we could fight some of the issues we face. For example, over the last couple of weeks, I keep hearing people talking about price gouging. Now, price gouging is a very specific terminology. It means something when you protest. So if you're protesting price gouging, you have to clearly define, or you have to go with the definition of what the law says price gouging is. Price gouging is not the indiscriminate changing of the price of an item. Price gouging occurs, according to the legal people I've spoken to, when, let's take for example, a pack of batteries would cost you $3 just to pick a price. And if there's a tropical system approaching and you move the price of batteries, because you know people are going to buy batteries, from $3 to $7, that is what is called price gouging. So if you're trying to prove a case of price gouging, you have to be specific, because if you ask for the wrong thing, you get the wrong response. It was like listening yesterday to the number of people who called to engage on the program dealing with calling Crime Stoppers. And they talked about giving bail to criminals. Again, the legal people who like to put me on the straight and narrow said to me, bail is not given to criminals. Bail is given to accused persons. And they went through the whole explanation of the difference between a criminal and an accused person. So I am told that I know better and I should this and I should that. And I keep telling them, you're lawyers. I'm not one. Why don't you call and explain it? But so bail is not given to criminals. Bail is given to an accused person. Looking through the emails and WhatsApp messages to prepare for today, I saw this one. And that's why I started talking about the changes in prices. This one says, I live in an housing area. My light bill ranges from $200 or $205. In May, I paid $205. June, I saw $265. July is $273. We were told that the bill will go up by $20 this month. Can you tell me if oil is still rising? And please help me, I'm a pensioner. So when the $20 is put on this month, what is going to happen? And three things crossed my mind. One, how many people live in our house and is it air conditioned? Because I've lived in several places and a bill of $200 per month for light is kind of high. So my question was, somebody thiefing your electricity and you don't know? Or you should get someone to check that, one. Two, what's this $20 being added on? I keep trying to figure out where it was said that $20 can be added on. The closest I came to it was a story in The Nation attributed to the managing director of the Barbados Light and Power Company, who said that bills will rise on average of $20 because of the change in the price of oil that they were paying. They didn't say that $20 was going to be added to your bill. So when people hear information and panic because of the way the information is passed on to them, or because they don't understand the way the sums are worked out, you could find a lot of people panicking either for no reason or panicking for the wrong reason, or perhaps Mannequin for the right reason. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I'm okay.
A couple of things there. Very gasoline. Before gasoline, let's go pretty closely with you. There's no definition which the attorneys or law use. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that you, for example, you're selling batteries. Hurricane is expected to take the country to war, but I'm the only person in Barbados that have batteries. Mm-hmm. I let get my price on $3 to $6.
Seven, yes.
No.
I had said seven. But yeah. I had said seven, but you said six. Yeah.
Right, don't mind, right.
So you wonder.
I'm the only person in Barbados that have the batteries. Will you consider that price gouging?
That is what price gouging is, sir, according to the legal people that speak to me. That's exactly what it is. That because you have the power to do it and you're the only person to do it, you up the price. That's what they tell me it means.
So they don't recognize that when you have a shortage of goods, the price of your goods goes up.
Sir, it is not a shortage. What you described is not a shortage. What you said is because you're the only person that have it. You set the price up.
No, it's not a shortage.
It means that you have it, so you could do it. That's what price gouging is. That's what they tell me it is. As I said to them, they should explain it. I am not the person.
It sounds a bit too simple, though.
But, sir, simply put, right, let me put it this way. If you raise your price simply because it is, you're the place that has it and it is in demand, that's what price gouging is called. Mm. What they were trying to distinguish was the difference between you running a shop from your mother's house in the back where you're not paying rent, you're not paying anybody to work for you, and you getting your goods from somebody who's selling it to you at a discounted price, right? And you selling an item at one price, let's say the same batteries at $3. But because I going into iMart or Massey or someplace and buying 50 packs and then carrying it someplace where I paying rent, I can't sell it at the same $3. They don't call that price gouging. They call that overheads.
Overheads.
That's what they were trying to explain.
No, one is overheads and one is price gouging.
Depending on what it is, yes.
But all boys don't do the same thing.
If you say so.
Any goods. The other thing, Mr. Johnson, were you one of those people who rushed the gas station over the weekend?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, so tell me something. When you rush the gas station over the weekend, it means that this gas is going to last you forever?
I don't know, sir. Ask the people who rushed. I just told you I didn't.
Okay.
I saw no reason to go.
Let's look at an example here. There was a lady who used to bought $50 in gasoline. No, she never make a record of how many liters they were, so she wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. But this $50, though, we call it X, right? X amount of liters of gasoline that she will obtain. Now that you're paying at the pump, this $50, then, will have to equal to X minus Y, which Y will be tax you're paid on at the pump. But $50 at that time will you X amount of gasoline. But $50 now is not going to give you the same. You with me so far?
Following you.
Right. So therefore, the person that buy $50, if they used to make a recording of the amount of liters they will receive at the gas pump, they will now see that if they put in $50, they're going to get less. So in order to get the $50 value, they will have to spend at least about $60. This was not explained by the politicians. And this is one of the things, when you bring new policies to people, you have to explain these to people properly. And your last subject, which is one that you will always love, to dearest to your heart.
Oh, my children? You know,
pardon me?
My children?
No.
That's the only thing that's nearest to my heart.
Or the second one that's nearest to your heart. The hotels, Mr. Johnson, the hotels. You're taxing people according to the value of the hotels, the rooms, etc. Scale will be more. So we are going to tax you overnight, some money. But there are other countries that don't do that. What do you think eventually, Mr. Johnson, is going to happen? People that come in here when they look at this and then say, oh, no. I could go to San Diego and don't have to pay room tax. I could get the same sun, sea, and sand. So why would they choose to come to Barbados?
Because I love it.
Because you love it. And they believe that when the rich people come here, then the rich people are going to put their hand in their pocket and start spending left, right, and center. That's all we think, and we were operating so for years. And it's people like you should really be on the hotel board association to tell people what to do.
The same person you tell has been misleading the public all the time. You want to put me on the hotel board now, sir? So let me say this to you, right? People buy Mercedes-Benz because they want to buy Mercedes-Benz. People buy Suzukis because they want to buy Suzukis. The problem is when you buy a Suzuki at the price of a Mercedes-Benz, then you complain. The challenge for hoteliers anywhere in the world, and Barbados is no exception, is to ensure that you exceed the expectations of your guests and that they believe they get more than they paid for. When they do that, they will not look too closely at the price. But if you charge them $500 for an experience and they feel they've only received $200, they will complain. That is the key to hospitality, sir. And when we teach our people that at every level, then nobody will say Barbados is a high-priced destination. They will say, I went to Barbados and I enjoyed my vacation. Person says to me, Dennis, my bill went from $105 in the month of May to $205 in June. And nothing has changed regarding our efforts to conserve the use of electricity. I'm baffled at the extreme big increase in our bill. I think you should take both the bills to the Light and Power and have them explain the change to you, because if your consumption patterns are the same, I don't remember fuel charge being increased that much. So, yeah. Perhaps they can explain to you what that change is. I could tell you this from personal experience. Changing incandescent bulbs to, I've given a free plug here to my good friends who have a certain type of bulb. And I don't mean the energy, what they call it, the energy ones. I'm talking about the real ones. My bill was cut from about 105 to about 48, to the point where the boy came to see if anybody was actually living in the house. So the next time they come on the radio to discuss the wonders of their product, you should ask them about taking a look at you. They will tell you, LED, Tracy Catlin and the guys at LED Illuminations can tell you what kind of lights you need, what kind of power you're looking for. They give consultations. I could tell you, you will see a dramatic change from just that. This company has gone LED for reasons, and there are other people doing it as well. Brastax, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir. How are you?
Not bad at all, and you?
I'm pretty good. I was off for a little while.
Yes, it's good to have you back.
Yes.
I have to tell you before you start, if I recognize the voice, because I think it is, I've thoroughly enjoyed my second reading. I'm into my third reading, and I'm still enjoying it. It was said that you're a wonderful storyteller, and I think you are. So kudos to you. Well done.
Well, I would say I have exhausted my complete stock. I was very, very surprised at the response. I had to put in the rush order, and there's only one place that you may find a copy, because no other bookstore had was the Museum Library. They only had 15 copies. All of my stock has disappeared.
Whoa, that is very good. You see, it proves, sir, that there is a need, a very pressing need, for the story of Barbados to be told from every angle. And I'm glad you came on after the last caller, because the last caller was talking about hospitality. And I think a lot of people don't understand the link between the hospitality industry, not only in Barbados, but indeed the Eastern Caribbean, because of the Grantley Adams International Airport. Grantley Adams was an international airport when Grenada didn't have one, when St. Vincent didn't have one, when Dominica or St. Lucia didn't have either. And because of that, Barbados was a crucial link to those islands because of Grantley Adams International.
Right.
Yes,
and this is very interesting that you raised that. I was going to say another subject.
No, you can if you want to. You know, I just said that in passing.
No, I'm glad you raised it. Because I will express my concern. It is noticeable that when people have worked in an industry, that never do you ask an opinion of those persons. Mm-hmm. I have now about 18 years behind me since my retirement, and my opinion has never been sought in Barbados. It has been sought elsewhere. And that is why, you know, that is why we make mistake after mistake. And I've been noticing mistakes being made, but I have preferred not to say anything publicly because, you know, I think that having served there, that you should allow the powers that be to continue as they see fit. Mm-hmm. If I'm asked a question, I will respond,
answer.
But I do not intend to offer any advice otherwise. But what I want to talk about here, I noticed there has been some disquiet, and it's going to be a tide in the press recently about the proposed integrity legislation, where the amongst the punishment has now dropped from $500,000 to 2% of what it, to 2% of $500,000, which is about $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That, to my mind, says something. And I believe Barbadians will be watching this development very, very carefully. Because what it seems is that pressure is being applied because persons may see that they may be caught in the trap and therefore may be putting pressure on the leadership to reduce this to an insignificant amount. Because certainly, if you accepted something in the order of $1 million and you're only going to be fined a token amount for what would be $20,000, well, it's a good bargain. You can do all the bad things you want and get the money and know that you're going to come out okay. I'm really very disappointed in this, and I do hope that some minister or some member of the government in office will come and provide an explanation to the people of Barbados why this integrity legislation is suddenly and inexplicably being watered down. Forgive me for saying this thing, because I've want to see our government succeed, but not at any price. We have to be honest. If we made promises and we cannot keep them, come and explain why we cannot keep them. On a matter like this, it is a fundamental thing that Barbadians are looking forward to honesty in government. It is also, to my knowledge, Barbadians are wondering if those who might have done things that are wrong, if they're ever going to be punished, or are we going to have the same types of things continuing in the present at the present time?
So one of the main challenges I think facing this new administration is to ensure that the accusations that they threw at the last administration is not thrown at them. One. Two, that whatever it is government undertakes, when you talk about transparency in government, when you talk about information to the public, freedom of information, that every step of the way that information is provided. And when persons like yourself, and you're not the first person to raise it, I saw it raised either in an email or WhatsApp when I was rolling through the messages here on screen from last week when I was on to this week. People asked about that change in the penalty. We in small societies like Barbados, especially with the advent of social media, information either correct or incorrect, either malicious or otherwise, is thrown around very freely. And if the impression is given that there is a class or classes of people who will not feel, as you say, the hammer, more and more people will become alienated, more and more people will become disillusioned, and 30-nil sweeps will become the order of the day. And as someone who believes in orderliness, I don't think it's going to augur well for Barbados if we keep swaying from one end of the scale to the other because we've lost faith in our people and in our ability to govern ourselves. It's the worst thing that could happen to us.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought this on the table, because it is a fundamental problem and it's going to determine the success or failure of the present administration.
Absolutely,
I honestly believe that the leader of this particular government is trying hard to do the right thing. But then I can understand their pressures out there. And even if there are pressures out there and the leader does not step up to the plate and say enough is enough, at the last leadership, they will get the blame, you see. So it is a tight spot to be in, but it has to be done.
Sir, I will say to you again, what we have to reestablish in Barbados, if it is not established, is this thing called collective responsibility. And the Prime Minister made a comment, I'm trying to remember where she made the comment, but she made the comment that if, you know, people don't follow a certain path, she'll walk across the aisle and become the most formidable leader of the opposition they've ever seen. I thought it was an interesting comment. But, you know, it's first among equals. If your equals decide you're not first, you will be taken down the batting order. So when you talk about outside pressures, you have to make sure that everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet and that they're all buying into the policy. I will say again, this administration came to office because of public sentiment, and they need to understand public sentiment can sway very easily. If not, they should read Shakespeare's Julius Caesar and learn how easy it is to sway a crowd. Good to hear you, sir, and continued success with the book. It's a good read. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
Greetings and salutations to your great styles.
To you too,
during the June 2018 mini-budget by the Honorable Mayor Motley, Minister of Finance and Economic Affairs, in her presentation, she paid special attention to the agriculture sector, which indeed is very commendable. And I hope that her Minister of Agriculture, the Honorable Indah Rear, has listened attentive so that they both will be singing from the same song sheet. As I listen with keen interest to a comment made by the Minister of Agriculture recently, and I hope that he is not carried away by the article which appeared on the front page of Friday, the 29th of June, 2018, with A-Nation, Grass Fuel, where a farmer hears King Grass. What I think that the minister should do is to draw comparison between Mr. Richard Armstrong's growing of King Grass and the large acreage of special planted river tamarinds which were cultivated for the Andrews Sugar Factory, and also give us an update on the progress of the multipurpose factory.
That multipurpose factory, as far as I know, was caught up in a court battle with one of the neighbors. I don't know if that matter has been settled, but I know it was held up because of a court challenge by one of the neighbors.
However, then, Mr. Johnson, sir, it's my belief that the minister should show more interest in sugar and food crops and leave the comment on marijuana to the designated Minister of Health and Wellness, the Honorable Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, the member for the city of Bridgetown.
Why, sir?
That is my contribution for today, sir.
Thank you, sir. The former Prime Minister, Owen Arthur, moved the Secretariat responsible for HIV AIDS from the Ministry of Health and moved it to the Prime Minister's office because he said the fight against HIV/AIDS was an economic issue, not a health one. So Prime Ministers make decisions. Ministers, I suppose, make decisions based on various things. And again, I remind of something called collective responsibility. So if the ministers sit down around cabinet and have a discussion on land use, and part of the land use policy is to grow various things, including medical marijuana, that's a Ministry of Agriculture decision. What is done with the marijuana after it's grown might be a Ministry of Health decision. But where it's grown and how much it's grown is agriculture. Yeah, I just say it. But anyhow, your contribution. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Pleasant good morning to you.
And to you, too.
No, last week, Friday, I think it was that, the president, I can't remember if he's the president. Anyhow, Mr. Raphael.
It wasn't him. It was a PRO, sir. It was not
PRO,
Mr. Raphael.
Right. Thanks. Was engaging Mr. Lane about concessions for the private PSVs. And he was trying to persuade Mr. Lane and you yourself, because you had came in.
Yeah, I pushed my nose in, yeah.
Right, the discipline. And he went on to say that discipline will come when they're set up. I can't remember exactly. A command center, correctly. They're going to set up a command center so that everything will be in place. But if that command center takes another 5 months or 6 months, what is going to happen? What is happening during that time to the indiscipline? Mr. Johnson, there are three minibuses that play the Sergeant Street route. And those minibuses are overloaded and their driver at exorbitant speed. I know that you have knowledge of many things. Now, you know a 30-degree angle. When those buses are coming towards you from the left side to the driver's side, you have between a 20 to 30-degree angle with the amount of people in those buses. That is a disaster that is waiting to happen if nothing is being done. Sometimes you see those buses stop at a bus stop, and 15 to 20 people have to get out first in order for the person that want to get off. And people are still in the bus standing. And I think that if that is not checked on, we are going to have a serious, serious accident in this country. And I think that those who are in charge should check those buses before any disaster happens.
So that's one of the reasons why I stuck my nose in, because to me, it's a case of saying, if you give me, I'll behave, which to me means if you don't give me, I won't behave. That's a strange extrapolation. But the truth is, and the other thing is this question of it's a few rotten eggs. So if I have eggs on sale, and I tell you it's $24 a dozen, and somebody else has eggs on sale, and they tell you, my eggs are $18 a dozen, and you say, okay, I'm going to buy the $18 a dozen eggs because it's cheaper. And then you're suddenly told, well, they got about four rotten eggs in there, you know, so, you know, but buy it still. The next time you come, I'll give you good eggs. So you repel the rotten eggs of the person.
Exactly.
Because you feel you get cheated.
Exactly.
The problem faced by the PSVs is this. A gentleman called the same Friday program and said that the CBC should be shut down. And during the course of that presentation, he said, I have more channels at home than CBC has. And my channels are free because I have box, stick, whatever it is he said that he had.
Yeah.
That means he had an option. That's why he could say shut down CBC. People call, well, there's a 30-nil switch in Parliament because people had an option. The problem is the PSVs understand that there is no option because the Transport Board has no buses. So people depend on them and they don't have anything else. The day there is an alternative, it would be an incentive for them to pull into line before they say, give me or else. And that's why I told the guy, I'm negotiating. I put my first one on the table, bring your cards. Because there are too many things. And people sent a whole list of things. The music, the this, the that, and it just kept going down and down. But they keep taking the buses because there is no choice. There is too much. There is too much indiscipline in our transport sector, sir, at all levels.
Yes.
They don't pull aside into the laybys. Some undertake, overtake. There's supposed to be a no right turn by the John Beckles Drive, that is, and they turn all the time. So there's just general indiscipline.
Exactly.
But, yeah.